Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed IT Services, delivering a comprehensive suite of managed services, including implementing, securing, and scaling applications designed for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
America's faced big problems before, but today our leaders in Washington seem incapable of working together in a practical, common-sense way. Politics has become so bitter and partisan, so gummed up by money and influence, that we can't tackle the big problems that demand solutions. And that's what we have to change first.
Barack Obama, from the message on his website announcing his presidential exploratory committee, but he doesn't only speak in those soothing, we're all one terms. Did you see the article in the Sunday Times this week called Shushing the Baby Boomers? As he starts to run against Hillary Clinton, Obama uses his book, The Audacity of Hope, to dismiss the rivalry between Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich, among other baby boomers, this way, quote, "In the back and forth between Clinton and Gingrich and in the elections of 2000 and 2004, I sometimes felt as if I were watching the psychodrama of the baby boom generation, a tale rooted in old grudges and revenge plots hatched on a handful of college campuses long ago, played out on the national stage," unquote. So, boomers, has your generation become the bickering generation in national politics? Or is Obama smearing you, maybe out of personal ambition? 212-433-WNYC. And Gen Xers and younger, do you identify with Obama's statement? Do you think your generation has a different, less polarized approach to politics? 212-433-9692. And attention, all of you, and attention to our screener. We will save some lines for baby boomers, some lines for Xers and younger. Maybe we'll take some World War II generation callers too, but I think this one is mostly between the boomers and younger, eh? So call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Obama was born in 61, so by some measures, he is a baby boomer, and by some, he's not. Some demographers cut it off at 1960 and some at 64, but nevertheless, he was, you know, 7 years old when Nixon was elected. And in this book, he describes the politics of the 1960s, according to the New York Times account, as highly personal, burrowing into every interaction between youth and authority and among peers who then took them to Washington, where they endure today. But if Obama sees himself as post-boomer in that respect, he acknowledges that the flashpoint issues of the 60s are largely unresolved, the issues of war and racism and inequality and relations between the sexes, says the Times. So X and Y callers, if the issues are unresolved, can a new generation move past them in a different way? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Michael in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I never consider myself a boomer, although I guess I am one.
When were you born?
1950.
You're a boomer.
Oh, yeah. And but I think it's sort of ridiculous to, you know, to say that someone thinks of a certain way because they're born a certain year. But moving to the point that you just made.
Well, all generational generalities, you know, are over generalities, and yet there are things that, you know, like any group stuff, there are things that tend to occur among various groups. It's certainly true generationally, at least within certain groups within the generation. I mean, it sounds like he's talking about white middle class college students in particular.
That's me, and I would agree that a lot of things that were issues from the 60s remain unresolved. I think a lot of people were duped by the civil rights movement to think that the civil rights movement would actually solve something other than just giving blacks the right to vote, which they deserve. my attitude is I've worked with a lot of people half my age, and if they come up with some better idea, I will be glad to embrace it. I haven't seen it happen.
All right. So it comes down to ideas rather than and policies rather than styles for you. Susan in Rockland County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Yes. Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm a Gen Xer, and I think that I do agree with Barack Obama, but I never would have thought of it in that context until I heard that quote.
Hmm.
And I thought it was a really interesting point, but it seemed to be a little bit in line with kind of where Arnold Schwarzenegger is taking politics out in California, you know, like redefining the center and all the bipartisanship. So I guess I'm wondering, is it really generational or is it just the new quote-unquote trend in politics?
Right. Well, what do you think about this quote? Here, let's see. 38-year-old Eric Liu from the same article, a former speechwriter for President Clinton, says, "Thank you. Here's your gold watch. It's time for your personal style and political framework of the 1960s to get out of the way."
I have to say that I just embrace that and I love hearing it.
So characterize it for us. What is that personal style of the baby boomers and political style as you see it that's different from yourself?
I do think that I have to say, I think they're right. I think it was a more contentious style, that they were just so much more divided and so much more like emotionally engaged with their political ideologies, that they had trouble, you know, finding a center because they became so emotionally engaged with opposing one
and
another.
And polarized. Can you put that on to any particular policy?
Oh, gosh. No, none that I can think of offhand.
That's right. I'm putting you on the spot here. But it's but it's a feeling that you have.
I just, you know, as a Gen Xer, I just love hearing that. And I think absolutely. And let's move on.
Susan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's start a dialogue about your ideas and mine. Because the conversation in Washington has been just a little one-sided lately, don't you think? And we can all see how well that works.
Now, that's interesting. There's Hillary Clinton from her exploratory committee announcement. And I guess she's got some other common groundy lines, but saying the dialogue in Washington has been a little one-sided lately, don't you think? Maybe that's more polarized than at least the rhetoric that Obama is coming with. Jeffrey in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, Brian. I'm a Gen Xer, and I would have to agree with Obama, the sentiment of Obama's statement. In my experience with boomers, it seems like a lot of business discussions and other types of discussions in, you know, various social organization efforts and so forth will devolve into a type of debate that I would tend to consider petty bickering.
Can you give me an example?
I can. I was involved several years ago in Seattle with an effort to get a new trial for Mumia Abu-Jamal, and there were quite a few boomers as well as Xers all involved in that. And it just seemed like it was always the older ones that would just impede the meetings from really moving forward into a real plan, because they wanted to kind of get into these oratories about details.
Get their ideology out.
Yeah, they love to hear themselves talk.
Now, Obama, by the way, is criticized by Republicans already as voting very predictably along partisan lines in the Senate, even a little more than Hillary Clinton. So people will ask, what exactly is new and common groundy about him anyway? Obama's going to have to answer that one as his candidacy gets off the ground. You have any thought about that?
Obama's going to have to answer a lot of things as his candidacy gets off the ground. And I personally am kind of waiting to see what his first gaffe is going to be, because everybody's just going to pounce when that happens.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Here is Wick in Basking Ridge. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. The thing that comes very clearly to my mind, I was at Antioch College in the 60s, which was a highly polarized place. And I can tell you the people that I meet today, I can tell almost exactly where they stood in those days, whether they were part of that movement or whether they were members of the Young Americans for Freedom. And
so you're a boomer, but you're agreeing with Obama.
Absolutely.
And So do you see it in the leading politicians of today? Because it does seem to be a positioning statement. I mean, maybe it's something he really believes also, but it's perhaps at least in part a positioning statement against Hillary Clinton and some others of that generation he'll be running against.
Well, that may be, but I think the point that he's making is probably less a political one than a sociological one, which is that there were people who were involved in that debate in the 60s who were very clearly on one side or the other, and the center, it seems to me, in those days was kind of abandoned. You know, it was you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. People were told to make that decision and get on one side or the other.
Right, and that slogan came out of the left, but then we heard the same thing on the right from the Gingrich Republican generation.
Sure, and I think, you know, this was the beginnings of people like the YAF and other people then were the people who were extremely resentful of what they saw as an immature and highly destructive movement. And the people you see today who are Republicans of my age are very often those people who felt completely left out, intimidated, and, you know, otherwise marginalized.
Wick, thank you very much for the call.
We have to change our politics and come together around our common interests and concerns as Americans. This won't happen by itself. A change in our politics can only come from you, from people across our country who believe there's a better way and are willing to work for it.
More Obama from his exploratory committee announcement. Matt in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good.
I thought Obama's statement was really interesting. I think the only issue I have with it is that it sort of presupposes that the dialogue that Clinton and Gingrich had in the 60s had anything to do with some sort of conflict over the political situation in the 60s. To me, it seems like just a random argument. I don't see any specific link. And also, I don't really see, even if that is true, that it's somehow rooted in the 60s, why does that mean that this is emblematic of the 60s political culture invading our culture today?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Doesn't seem to be any sort of connection. And
you told my screen you're a Gen Xer, right?
Correct. I'm 26.
So you're kind of the opposite of the boomer who was supporting Obama in criticizing the boomers. You're 26, and you're saying, no, he's unfairly tarring all boomers with the same brush.
Pretty much. I think that would be a good way to put it. And if I could also say something about Obama. I think Obama's an interesting candidate, but I think his problem is that he seems to be too influenced by political consultants saying these, you know, grand platitudes about coming together. I'd have personally, if you were to ask me, what specific policy does Obama stand for? I couldn't give you an answer, and I consider myself someone who's well-versed in politics. I think he doesn't make any arguments. He makes these grandiose statements that maybe a lot of people, that resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But personally, on a political level, on a policy analysis level, I have no idea what he's talking about.
And so you're right that so far nobody's been able to apply the sentiment, even if they share it, to a particular policy position.
And if I could say one more thing about my generation,
mm-hmm.
I think the reason why a lot of people in my generation are less polarized is because political consultants have really tamped down the language. Today things are very flowery. They're not very, you know, revolutionary. The issue today isn't like a debate between should we have a democratic socialist state or should we have, like, you know, a libertarian state. Today's things, the center is very, very, it's very narrow. And, you know, the political discussion that Clinton had with, you know, the Republicans in the 90s isn't very revolutionary. I mean, to me, it's all center-right.
Mm-hmm.
So as the result of which creates a very, very narrow political spectrum with not a lot of revolutionary fervor on either side.
The opposite of what he's talking about. So angry, but not really polarized.
Exactly. On central issues.
Yes.
Maybe angry on rhetorical issues.
Matt, thank you very much. And Betty in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Betty.
Hey. Two things, and the last caller was very interesting to me. I'm a baby boomer, and I lost a little bit of respect for Obama, who I was very interested in by that comment, having grown up in the 60s. I think that he's ignoring the fact that the passion, the commitment, and the benefits that are now being given to Generation X kids come from the 60s.
They're going to say benefits like terrorism, endless war, and debt up to my ears?
Well, issues to do with women's rights, issues to do with
those social advances.
Social advances, you know, and also some of the thinking of those people who are against the war in Iraq, which come out of a lot of thinking and a lot of work that baby boomers mm-hmm. did against the war in Vietnam. I mean, you know, being able to apply one thing to another comes out of a long history of thinking, meetings, planning. I don't think that can be discounted, which it seems to me that Obama is doing, just simply dismissing, you know, a history that has created the possibilities of women working today in positions that they never could have before.
But in our last 15 seconds, do you think that same framework is the best one for going forward?
It may not be the exact one to use to go forward, but to dismiss that in his New York Times piece is alienating for people like me who right. have passion, and I teach students in their 20s, and, you know, I'm worried.
And Betty, you get the last word. Thank you all for your calls on this. Tomorrow, don't forget, lots of reactions to the State of the Union address and Nancy Pelosi's daughter, filmmaker Alexandra Pelosi, among our guests. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, State of the Union live tonight at 9. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.